You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Welcome to the very first episode of Your Dose of Death of 2025. As you know, my name is Lauren Rosenberg. Happy to be along with you on this ride. Yes, it is just me today. Have no problems, have no problemos with that. It's been kind of a while since I've talked to just you guys, the listeners. I know you guys are kind of wondering where I was, and I know it's near the end of January, and I apologize. I was just kind of waiting for a few little things to line up before I did an episode. But of course, before I get into anything deathmatch related, I wanted to talk about the new logo. As you guys see, brand new logo, really trying to get this new era of Your Dose of Death off the ground, hot and heavy, and off to a great start. And really cannot thank enough the insanely talented Sophie Miles. Sophie, thank you so much for your contribution. Really turned out beautiful. Love the art style of it. She had actually wanted to make the logo for me back, I want to say back last year in about, I want to say September, October. And it just kind of just gained communication together. Of course, you know how it is. But we got it done. The logo's out. So I hope you guys enjoy the new logo. And it is a new era, as I've tried to state, and not trying to ruffle any feathers, not trying to cause any issues, but yeah, we are going with a new era. So I want to kind of talk about some stuff like earliest to latest. I feel remiss if I wouldn't talk about what potentially might be one of the best deathmatch shows of the year already. In ICW No Holds Barred Volume 68. Fantastic show from start to finish. Really was some fun stuff. I mean, you had Atticus Coker defending his American Deathmatch Championship literally at the start of the show. It's Cody Manhorn. If you know who Cody Manhorn is, you know who Cody Manhorn is. He is that guy. And killed it. Some real nasty stuff. Pillars and KOBK had a real fun little match. Hoodfoot Nathan Murray. Have to talk about this match. This is already one of the death matches of the year. I feel like when the year kind of ends, that it's 2025, we're going to be talking a huge amount about Hoodfoot Mo Atlas versus Nathan Murray. I've known Nathan for a little bit. I'm so happy to see him kind of thriving with, of course, his Blood and Honey promotion. But just working with Covenant of the Goat. Just really an awesome dude. Got a huge opportunity here in the chains. I believe it was his first match in the chains. And he absolutely killed it. Knocked it out of the park. Hoodfoot is kind of like the gatekeeper, in a way, of the chains. It's like you kind of go through him to prove yourself. And this was about near 20 minutes, this match of just pure insanity. Really great stuff. The John Woo drop kick with the flaming boots was incredible. I mean, I hope Eric Ryan was watching that somewhere, because he had been smiling seeing that someone did a flaming John Woo drop kick. And if I'm Eric Ryan, maybe I do come back and try that. I don't know. It was really good. The kind of the big moment of the night, Danny D'Amato had his little open challenge. And who came back? None other than John Wayne Murdoch, the Duke of Hardcore. Huge return. Took some nasty. If you guys have seen already, I know it's been a few weeks since it aired, the Unchained interview with Murdoch and D'Amato. A lot was really said, a lot of grievances aired, a lot of things talked about. But they really, that match basically proved that some scores can, in fact, be settled in a wrestling ring. And kudos to Danny, kudos to John for making that work. And, gave us some just beautiful violence. I will say the only grievance that I maybe had with that match was the Mittens run-in. But of course, Mittens being the consummate professional that he is and I love, had to have had to really just try to do his thing. So kudos to him. But good to see John back in the chains. I know he kind of said he is not sure how much or how long he has left. But he wants to help this promotion out as much as he can. And I mean, you're already kind of seeing the ripple effects of that. He's going to be in Detroit in April. I don't know about Chicago yet. Hoping he's in Chicago back again. We'll see, though. Dr. Redacted, big win over Dale Hatrickson, one of the literally one of the BJW Tag Team Champions alongside Pondo with Baka Gaijin. Really cool to see Dale Patrick. We're going to talk a little bit more about him later on the show. But what is there not to love? Dale Patrick's literally just took an opportunity to come to Japan, be a part of Madman Honda's little Baka Gaijin stable that he's reuniting. And as the world is his. Dale Patrick's doing awesome. But Dr. Redacted, man, one of the hottest deathmatch wrestlers in the circuit. I mean, we have not seen the likes of this kind of meteoric rise like Dr. Redacted in a long time. And I mean, there could be a lot of components, relatability, just a guy you want to root for, as crazy as he is. And he puts it all on the line. It's Dr. Redacted, man. But big win to him for him. Tank Defeat and Manders. Tank aged like a fine wine in the world of ultra violence. And it doesn't matter who you put in front of him or what you put in front of him, but he loves this. He continues to do it at a very decent rate. And Tank has always been someone who, whenever I see his name on the card, you know you're gonna get a good match at him. I mean, the guy has been a legend for years. What is there not to love about that? And of course, the number one contender match for the American Deathmatch title, Otis Koger, brother Otis, as I like to call him, defeated Bobby Beverly. And I'll talk a bit more about Bobby Beverly later, but this is Otis getting this title shot, which of course is going to be coming up in England, is interesting because. Yes, the Koger brothers are running rampant in ICW, and for that matter, the independents again. I did not expect, however, Otis to win this match, but well, it has some interesting ripple effects that could potentially cause some issues down the line for ICW and whatnot. But we'll see because Atticus he's been a fighting champion. You cannot deny that maybe he's not been the greatest American Deathmatch champion, but he's been a champion that has very much warranted the fighting champion status, whether or not Dane D'Amato likes it or not. So, Volume 68, huge ups, potential show of the year. It doesn't get better than that. There's a lot to like about what they're doing coming up. Of course, they're doing the Massachusetts show at the Sonya. They're doing another Horror Slam collab in April, as well as Chicago coming back to the legendary Berwyn Eagles. So there's a lot there. This is a very interesting year for ICW, no holds barred. Dane D'Amato and company, they have a lot riding on this year. They took that kind of little break, as you could say, from May onwards. And It seems to have paid off, but we'll kind of see as it goes on. I will say working with Horror Slam definitely has given him a rejuvenation, it seems like. How what that partnership may entail more of, we still don't know. But the chains are rocking and rolling. They're going back to England. Those collaboration shows will be really cool, as they always are in March. And we'll go from there. Next up, I want to talk about, of course, the I want to talk about the Ruthless Pro Wrestling 7 collab, Hydra, which of course yours truly was at as well. Give me a moment. I'm just pulling up the just cage match, our good old cage match. Hydra was a fun show. This is a show that, first of all, thank you to everyone who gave me the hospitality in Houston. You guys are great as all. Texas has kind of become a second home. I kind of put that out on Instagram. Have a lot of family ties to Texas. My stepfather's from Dallas, Austin, and it's just I always have a good time in Texas. So this was a good show. It was awesome to be able to work for the first time with Larry and KG. Shout out to both of them. Shout out to KG for putting me on his Instagram live a little spiel before the show. Real great to meet some new guys who I'll get to here in a bit. I'll go over the match card. Kind of cool to say that I worked with Nick Gage. I've only been filming ringside for shows for about a year plus. Getting to work with Nick is an honor, a privilege. I don't take that lightly, but Nicky's the man, and it's so good. And just a little sidebar before I forget, I know Nick and Justin Finn, my boy Justin Finn, had a great match at the PWJ Cards show. I know it's not a death match show, but they did no DQ. Huge ups to to Nick and to Justin. I mean, Justin is only his second career match ever, and it was against Nick Gage, and so huge ups. But Nick Gage versus Tommy Vendetta, real fun little stuff right here. Was just a nice little brawl, some real brawl stuff. Tommy Vendetta is a heat magnet wherever he goes. I don't know if it's people just hate Michigan or just hate him, but the heat he gets is astronomical. I think it's the layers more than anything, man. I mean, that man wears layers upon layers upon layers. But he went through a couple of panes of glass. Nikki did his thing. He actually, I mean, he did. He made some very scathing comments in my mind, where he said, "I could have been somewhere else, but I want to be here in Houston." And a certain wrestler came out, which, happened to be Masada of all people. Masada came out, confronted Nick. I think those two will see each other down the road. I don't know, maybe Chicago. We'll see. But those two definitely are crash course for each other. Chamberlain Ninja Mac, little loco rules kind of match. It was not really what I expected from either of them. Chamberlain did get the window, maybe a little controversial. Ref was Iron Man in that night. He was exhausted by match two, but he made it through the night. But yeah, I mean, Chamberlain defeated Ninja Mac. Ninja Mac was a little heated. I've not seen Ninja Mac as heated, but it's not every day you get a win over a New Japan Pro Wrestling Noah star. So big ups to Ledric Chamberlain. Next up, third match on the line, Hoodfoot Mo Atlas defending his RPW World Championship for the first time since he won it back. He's a two-time Ruthless Pro Wrestling champion against someone who I immediately became a fan of his after this match, Killa Cash. And Killer Cash was someone that was recommended to me by Dimitri. And anyone who was recommended by to me by Dimitri Alexandrov is a good person in my book. But Cash, man, I get a lot of like Texas style Eddie Kingston vibes from this dude. He's just a big, bulky dude, wants to beat you up. And him and Mo went toe to toe. I mean, Cash pushed him. He pushed him to his limits. That was a real solid match between those two. I became a big fan of Killer Cash. I want to see him more, man. Like Killer Cash is a guy who, if you give him the right kind of match, he will be the show stealer. And honestly, I thought this match stole the show. Physical, hard hitting. You didn't need glass to even have an effect of these two. Like they just were really good together. It was just one of those matches. You're just like, God damn, like these two are gonna take each other to the limit. And that's exactly what they did. So huge ups to Mo and Cash. Mo got the win though. Big win for Mo. He's gonna have some very interesting suitors for that RPW title. And I'm going to talk about the match that he has coming up next month for that title. Then we get into kind of the death match chicanery of the evening. Excuse me. First up, Arrow Boy versus Malcolm Monroe III, MM3. This was a real good match. I thought that 2024, Malcolm Monroe III was kind of one of the unsung heroes. I thought him facing Drake Younger in his RPW debut and the kind of caliber match that he had was awe-inspiring. Really great stuff. It was just one of those matches that you will be talking about MM3 versus Drake Younger for a long time. Three's the kind of guy, if you give him the right kind of opponent in a death match where they can both showcase each other's talent, they're going to thrive. Arrow Boy, international deathmatch sensation, luchador, lucha extrema, superstar Arrow Boy. I've known Arrow Boy for years. I've seen him in some great matches, and this is definitely one I will consider a great match. Lucha Libre, high flying, real and real tactical, real cerebral stuff, but Arrow Boy gets the win. I mean, these two were getting luchada, some pesos, some dolores, some dollars in the ring. I mean, is as lucha league. I had to educate some a fellow cameraman who were out doing putting some footage together for Seven and RPW. Like, yeah, lucha libre tradition. Even if it's a death match, you still pay your respect as if this is a good match by putting in some cash, and they did that. So, really awesome stuff. MM3 should not be disappointed. He has a boatload of future left. He is truly one of the fastest rising deathmatch stars in the industry right now. So, but great match. Next up, this is a match. Didn't need any glass. Some barbed wire chairs, some real gnarly stuff. Masada, who I mentioned earlier in the night, confront Nick Gage. Was going against a Remington Roar who did not have the RPW Kamikaze Championship, which I found very interesting. But I think it was a bigger glory for him to have just this match. So he didn't need a title to defend against someone who he considered an icon in Masada. And of course, another one was honored to have filmed Masada, man. There is something different about a Masada match. I know there's a lot of there was controversy surrounding him. I know that's been and I've been quenched or subsided. But he is one of those workers who gives it 100%, like when he can. And he really gave 100% to Remington Roar. He pushed Remington Roar to the absolute brink. There, as you guys may have seen with my clips, that slap was legitimate. I don't usually like to like react to what I'm filming in the ring. But Masada brought something out of me I'm not used to. And he really laid it on to Remington Roar. This was physical. This was demanding. This is the match that, I mean, I think Remington Roar can stand toe to toe with anybody. He's another breakout guy just waiting for that moment. He had it in Japan with Akira and Pando and Baka Gaijin, but it didn't maybe get the applause that maybe others thought, but he just kept humming, keep churning. I know he just made the move back to Kansas City, which is home for him, but he killed it. This one did end in a no contest. Masada, Gage, Nick Gage was on commentary during this, and he took offense to some of the things Masada was doing and or saying. So again, those two, whenever that happens, it is a collision course, and we're all just witnesses at this point. So that was really, but Remington, Masada, real physical stuff, real grueling. I mean, some of those chair shots are some of the hardest chair shots I've ever seen. I mean, there was this barbed wire bat that was wrapped real tight for Masada. I don't know if it was like a different kind of barbed wire or whatever. Masada was working that bat 110%. He is someone who puts the realism in professional wrestling, especially for the deathmatch style that maybe doesn't see it often. It was just grueling watching Masada work, but he is a worker. He is an artist in his own way. So kudos to Masada, but kudos to Remington. He took everything in the kitchen sink, and it was a draw. So nothing to be ashamed of. Next up, this was kind of your co-main. Was originally supposed to be Journey Fatu versus Schlack for the RPW Rust Belt Championship. Unfortunately, Journey Fatu could not make it. But in his place, a man who I literally just talked about from the last event I just talked about, Dale Patricks, last minute addition to the show, made his way down to Houston, Texas, who, mind you, was the very first RPW Rust Belt champion. So he had a bit of history here in Ruthless Pro Wrestling, going up against Schlack. Of course, these two really, this was just true intensity. Schlack is an intensity machine. We all know this. We've all seen this. Schlack, or I should say King Schlack, I feel contractually obligated to mention that. Schlack has been an interest. He has defended that belt now twice. Of course, against Toshiyuki Sakuta, back at RPW Malignant, excuse me, and now here at Hydra. And Schlack is a kind of guy where you think you've seen everything with him, but you haven't. I mean, I did not expect the copious amounts of submissions and grapples that Schlack would entail, but it's just Schlack. He is a treasure of treasures. It is always something different with him. He is the kind of guy that when the bell rings, he is go, go, go. I mean, from the tubes to the suplexes on the floor, the tenacity, Schlack brings it every single time. And Dale Patricks, he delivered. He came to his level. And sometimes you have to get to someone else's level that maybe you're comfortable with. And Dale Patricks did exactly just that. And again, Dale Patricks, the run he's been on, Baka Gaijin, BJW Tag Team Champion, he has done it a lot in the span of a calendar year plus. I'm excited to see what Dale Patricks can do, which this will not be the last time you hear about Dale Patricks. I can promise you that. So there are more to come on him, but Schlack victorious. And even with Dale Patrick trying to resort to some cheap tricks of using the belt, and Schlack still became victorious. It's going to take a very big lot to dethrone Schlack from his throne right now. So, last but not least, the main event, the 7 Ultra Violent title. Shout out to our new friends at 7. severe violent nature. In case you have been wondering for the longest time what the initials are, severe violent nature. Their ultra violent title, Bobby Beverly, their first and still reigning defending champion versus Judge Joe Dredd. This match, the ideas that were brought to the table, terrifying. The amount of glass used in this match, terrifying. As Steven Jury made it clear before the bell, this is a match that was supposed to happen a few years ago. They got screwed out because of athletic commissions, so on and so forth. But here in Houston, Texas, it was Dredd's time to shine. Joe Dredd is the kind of guy where you just truly. Joe Dredd is a guy I've always had a lot of investment in. I think presentation-wise, one of the best presenters. I think as a wrestler, he's only getting better and better, surrounding himself with great people. He is now part of Team Bloodfighter. So Alex Colon, one of the possibly the greatest ring tacticians in deathmatch wrestling, mentoring him. With Dredd, he's just getting better and better as time progresses. And I know there's been potential rumors that he may retire at the end of the year, and but as far as I'm aware, and to kind of quell those rumors, he's rocking and rolling, man. He is, and this match against Bobby was one he's really wanted. And Dredd, all I can say, spoiler alert, he showed up to the occasion. Little controversy in the beginning. He thought he had it, but I guess the ref just did not ring the bell. Kind of rare you really see that these days, but it happens. Ref rang the bell, but Bobby kind of got that second. Bobby Beverly is the guy who, as the match progresses, if you're gonna go, he's gonna go. Bobby Beverly is kind of a late bloomer. He may be a slow starter in a match. He may be a guy that takes a few minutes, but once he gets going, once like you hit that first light tube, once you kind of you're like, okay, we're going now. There were several moments in this match where you just see in his eyes, like, you know, Joe, you wanted this, you got me, and I'm just gonna thrash you with light tubes and make you suffer. And this was just hard hitting. This was intense. Steven Jury just absolutely badgering Dredd to win this match. Unfortunately, Dredd came up short. Bobby Beverly, still your seven ultra violent champion. Bobby definitely went through a lot of battle scars in this match, but he did it. Judge Joe Dredd, a lot of scars. A little ominous though, because at the end of the night, he whispered something to Jury. I don't know if it was like, maybe this is it or what. But Jury looked a little concerned. And I don't know what that entails. But all I do know is Bobby Beverly is still your seven ultraviolet champion. He is still the guy in seven. He's been the guy in seven since it started. It's gonna be interesting to see what entails for Bobby going forward. So we shall see. But all I do know, that was a great way to cap off Hydra. Great stuff. Houston, Texas, you guys sold out the Houston Premier Arena, which is freaking awesome. I hope to be back in Texas again. RPW would love to be back, but whatever the future holds, I don't know. I should mention before we get into the other show that's happening in February with RPW and another promotion. Tickets did just go on sale for RPW's Mania Weekend show in Vegas. Miasma too. I won't be able to be there, but I hope you guys can, if you're going to be in Vegas or whatever, please consider going. I believe it's the Friday night, so it doesn't go coincide with one of the WrestleMania nights. If you want your little deathmatch fill, hit up RPW, but also I believe Thursday, January 17th or April 17th, Marks R Us. My good friends are Marks R Us. They are doing their deathmatch show, Cenobite. I love the Hellraiser series, so I have to shout that out. Love Hellraiser references. So buy those tickets for both those shows. They're both deathmatch shows. And also, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that Rise is doing a show in Vegas as well. I believe it's the Saturday, or I have to look back at that, but Rise is coming back to the States. A lot of UK deathmatch wrestlers are in town. So definitely hit that show, those three shows up if you're gonna be in Vegas. Yes, so I mentioned RPW will be working with another promotion. And this time they're gonna be working with We Love Wrestling, Tommy Trainwreck, a new friend of mine. Hoping to get him on the show, hopefully within the next week or so, because there's a lot for We Love Wrestling. They're really taking off, man. WLW, Tommy Trainwreck's bringing a different kind of wrestling to Wisconsin. He's bringing ultra violence. He's bringing some really great, talented wrestlers. It's a variety show you don't want to miss. So I kind of want to just go through the show here real quick. We got a four-way scramble match with some of WLW's finest: Onyx Andretti, Prince Hernandez, Dex Royal, and Aaron Asherah. A non-title tag match with, of course, the current WLW tag champs, Twist and Flip, versus, of course, the Pillars. You know them, you love them, Tommy Vendetta, MM3. It's being advertised as a death match. We shall see. Eric Dillinger versus Atticus Coger, first time ever. Eric Dillinger, of course, you just saw him at the BJW King of the Deathmatch tournament show out, an impressive showing. And then, of course, we got the RPW tag team titles on the line. The team, so as you guys saw in Malignant, 4-4 Yello regained the RPW tag team belts, but now it is just Zach Thomas, Greg Iron, the Brothers of Deconstruction versus Schwest. You know him, you love him. They're the two of the faces of RPW, Randy West, Schwartzy, finally getting that tag team championship opportunity they've been working so hard for. Will we see new champions? I don't know, but we will have to see. And of course, WLW isn't doing the show without a little deathmatch fuckery of their own. The WLW Pure Heart Championship, which is like their deathmatch title. Bobby V, their champion. All the homies, including myself, we hate Bobby V. Wink, wink. But he is going up against everyone's favorite doctor, Dr. Redacted. That is going to be real fun. But then, of course, more titles on the line. The RPW Kamikaze Championship will be defended in a rematch from a few RPW shows ago. Remington Roar against Chuck Stein, another show out at the BJW King of the Deathmatch tournament. Chuck Stein, excuse me, had a kind of a quiet but very well done 2024. I will give Chuck Stein that. And as kind of the quintessential leader of TFC and kind of been embroiled in this TFC versus Remington Roar vendetta, could he sneak away with the Kamikaze belt here? We shall see. But of course, the last match that we know of so far, the RPW title, Hoodfoot defending against a man who I've literally talked about now three times in this single episode. Apparently, 2025 is his year. I'm talking about the Deathmatch Jackass, the International Deathmatch Jackass, Dale Patricks. Dale Patricks declared after Hydra, he has his eyes on the RPW title. Could he be a double, I want to say double champ, but a two-time champ in RPW and to throw in Hoodfoot? We don't know, but as you guys know, all of this is taking place Saturday, February 8th. Make sure you get those tickets through either WLW's socials or Ruthless Pro Wrestling socials, Instagram, X, wherever you find them. And this is all taking place at the legendary La Pica Lounge in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Really honored to be back. This will be my second time at La Pica. First time was at GCW's Wisconsin Deathmatch Trip 2. So excited for everyone to get to experience La Pica Lounge. And I feel I would be remiss if I did not talk about what I have coming up after. So WLW is running a deathmatch tournament March 1, which is the Deathwish Cup. So want to just kind of go through that real quickly. Make sure you get your tickets for March 1st, the legendary Berwyn Eagles. So kind of gonna just go through the field. What we have so far, matches. I believe all matches are confirmed. We got Jason Devine versus Jason Rage in a Pop My Cherry death match. Chuck Stein versus Little Sicko. Of course, Little Sicko, you may have heard of him, won the Carnage Cup this last year. Eric Dillinger versus JJ. Actually, Stein versus Sicko, pins and needles. Eric Dillinger facing JJ Escobar in a Snap Crackle Pop death match. John Wayne Murdoch, the Duke, coming to Chicago once again in a wire and ice death match against one of my good dear friends. Of course, you heard him on this very show, Dmitry Alexandrov. Ultra violent baptism death match between Michael Kruger versus Remington Roar. Doors of Death death match. Dysfunction, the Wisconsin legend himself, the OG, against Dr. Redacted. And last but not least, to round out the first round, Bundles of Joy deathmatch, Bryant Woods versus Hoodfoot Mo Atlas. And of course, it wouldn't be a WLW show without one of their belts on the line, the WLW Pure Heart Championship. Is on the line, and but of course, remember if Bobby V loses, Dr. Redacted could very well be in this match. Is def going to be defended in a Block Is Hot death match as of right now, though, advertised as Bobby V versus Neil Diamond Cutter, which this could very well change. So that is one match I want show I want to talk about before anything else. That will be on IWTV live. March 1st, make sure you go to WLW and get those tickets for that show. I believe Front Row is all sold out, but make sure to get those. So that is all I got, kind of like my deathmatch news roundup for now. There's so much more to go into. I definitely want to do more of these as the year progresses, but I want to get this out before the end of the month. So don't worry, I will be back. We're going to get some interviews lined up. We're going to get some new content lined up. I promise you guys, your dose of death is back and rolling. Just need a little bit of time to get some stuff straightened out, but we are back and we're rolling. So, from myself, I hope to see you guys on the flip sides. Enjoy some deathmatch.
This has been a Count Out Podcast.
Hey, have you guys heard of the new show on the Count Out Network, the Ichiban Sweetcast?
It's the brand new Japan Pro Wrestling podcast starring the International Wrestling Grand Prix. That's me, your good friend Curtis Spears.
And me, your bad friend Rafe Hewson. And we're here to talk about everything New Japan Pro Wrestling, reacting to everything, getting worked up, getting very happy, sometimes crying. Kind of like something else we used to do, right?
Oh, yeah. That was the old Okada Shorts podcast, right?
Ah, that's right. And if you love that show, you're going to love this show because it's exactly the same show.
Yeah, we just had to change the name.
Yeah, we did. But you can check it everywhere on a social media handle that we haven't made yet.
Yeah, we're really new to this. So what you can do is search on your favorite podcast catcher of choice. Look for the Ichiban Sweetcast.
Sweetcast, Ichiban.